Accession number 17360, reel 4.
Mr. Keats, reel 4. You were just saying what this German said to you.
He asked me, he wasn't a German, he was a resistance fighter, which is, he was actually a Czech. And he asked me where we were going, what we were making for. I said, we're going home. He said, home? I said, yeah. So he looked at me, and I realised that telling him we were going home, he wouldn't know what we were talking about. So I explained to him that all we need were help to push us further along the road, to help us to get behind the Allied lines where we could get transport. So from there on, there was a chap. He took a civilian anyway. He asked the chap to take us back to this place, and we'll be back about possibly a mile. We went into a big hole, like a barracks, and there were German troops there, and there were Czechs and Poles, resistance fighters, you see, and they were feeding them, you know, and these Germans were doing all the waiting on them, doing the hard work, see. They were prisoners. And then he explained, and of course they were pleased to see us, a lot of the boys came to shake hands with us, and he gave us a meal. So then he said the best thing to do, a chap came up and spoke quite good English actually, he said, the best thing to do is to take you to the hotel, Cosmopolitan, I think that's the word. I think it was the Cosmopolitan Hotel, in the middle of the main street in Prague. And after we'd had a meal, this young chap took us down to this hotel. We went in, and he asked us to sign in, so he signed the book. When I looked, there was a lot of our lads in this hotel. Must have been at least 15 or 20 in the hotel. They were escaped boys. There were all kind of figures in the registration book. Tom Mix, Mickey Mouse, I never forget that. Three Blind Mice. They're all guys, but not their names. There wasn't one name there.
Why do you think they wouldn't put their names in?
I don't know. Did you know what they were up to? You see, I lost Jock in Prague. He disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know to this day what happened.
What was his real name?
I don't know. I never asked him. I just called him Jock.
What did he call you?
I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember little details like that. I mean, you call, if I see a Scotsman, you call him Jock, I mean, he'd answer, no matter what his name was. He wouldn't ask you to about your name or anything like that, you know. I mean, I hadn't met him. I'd seen him in the camp, but I'd only been in the camp a few days myself. So I wasn't interested. But he obviously kept his eye on me. He must have known I was up to something. How he found out, I don't know. He probably saw me packing my food together, you know.
So how long did you stay at the Cosmopolitan Hotel?
Ooh. Well, we stayed there. He took us there. And the manager said that he was going to put it over the radio that they wanted volunteers from the civilian population to accommodate us, all the boys, you know, in their houses, until the time comes when they're ready to move us on. I didn't like that. I thought, well, I'll go and I'll make some contact somehow and get somebody I can understand to give me some information about the situation. Because we knew the Americans or the British troops weren't far away from where we were. So I had to get to know where they were by some means. So, however, that night there were a lot of civilian people came into the hotel and they were coming to us, and some were speaking English, some were speaking German and whatever, and there was a young chap and his father came over to me and joke. No, I'd lost joke by that time, and he came over to me and asked me if I'd like to go and stay with them. I said, yes, thank you. And off I went. So they took us in a tram or a bus. I can't remember, a tram or a bus. I think it was a tram. Anyway, we went to a distance and then we walked through a few streets and then went into a flat. And I stayed with them for about a week. And he was a lecturer at the college, and his son was a teacher at the college. So I was all right. I had a good shave and, you know, nice bed to sleep in. I have a bath every morning and it was smashing. But he warned me not to go far away from the house, because there was still some German knocking around, you know. So I had to be careful. He said, but we'll take you out when we get the opportunity. I'll show you around Prague. Which we did later on. But it was difficult to know what to do. But on about the third day he came back in the evening. When he came in, he said to me, he said, I've got some news for you. I said, oh. He said, the Russians are coming. They'll be here tomorrow in the morning. He said, we've all been warned, you know, that they'll be entering the city. So he said, it's up to you to, you know.
How did he feel about the Russians coming?
I didn't like it one bit. Oh, no. Oh no.
Was he frightened?
The Russian, they were all right once they knew you. But they were pretty rough, you know. When we were with them Russians when we were escaping through Silesia, we stayed with this battery of artillery for a while, And they've been on the go for, I don't know how long. And they had two women with them, travelling with them. Russians, of course. And it's surprising how they travel, these people. And went into this farm. Did I tell you about that? No. Well, previous to meeting these at Prague, we met a battery of artillery before that, Russians. We travelled with them for about, what was it, 3 or 4 days, something like that. Then we left them.
You said they went into a barn? You were just about to say they went into a barn, the Russian unit. You said it's surprising how they travel, and they went into a barn.
Oh yeah. Well, when they travel, they just go anywhere, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, when we stopped at this bower, which is a big farm, there is one bower in every district, which is the head farmer, you know. And they used to always go there, where they could hide their vehicles and their artillery and whatever they carried, their arms with them. They could hide it, see. And nobody knew they were there. Well, we traveled with them for a while. But to get to... You get to the makings of a story or an explanation of what happened is quite a problem at this stage. I couldn't have done this early on, no bother.
But you were saying that this Czech lecturer told you the Russians were coming. So what did you decide to do?
So then he said, I don't know what you want to do. I said, well, I don't know either. I said, what do you suggest? He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you back to the hotel tomorrow. Then you do what you want to do. You'll search your real. Otherwise, we might get mixed up into a lot of trouble. You know. See what I mean?
So did you go back to the hotel?
Yeah, following day. He took me back the following morning. And they expected something like that happening because, I mean, there were a lot of excitement going on there. You see? And mind you, the German tank people were still firing. There's still some action in the outlying districts of Prague at that time. They were still firing their cannons. The two cannon fire, an aerial fire. And they're still dropping bombs in Prague at that time.
So what happened when you got back to the hotel?
Well, I got back to the hotel. I just pushed into a room with the other boys, you know. And we got together. I said, we'll demand a train. We'll demand a train. Because from there to... to the Austrian border town,
Linz. To Linz.
No.
Well, doesn't matter then. Salzburg.
It's a common town.
Salzburg.
Yeah, well, we approached the manager in the hotel, and he said he would get in touch and say the troops, you know, in charge of the town, and they would see what they could do. So the following day, of course, the Russians came in, and I was stood on the side of the road watching these Russians coming in. And everybody's shouting, "Nazda, Nazda." Well, I didn't understand what Nazda meant. Welcome, I would think. I wouldn't know what else. And eventually, about a couple of days after, we got this news to the hotel that the train was ready for leaving, but only POWs. It's only a couple of carriages, but we need a driver. So one of the blokes in the mob, one of our lads, he said, "I think I could manage it." He said, I have some idea. Anyway, he says, "We'll have a go." So we went and got in the train. But you know, it's funny. When we got in that train, excuse me, funny, they issued us with rifles, all of us. And they said, "Cheerio, don't worry about the Russians, don't stop the train, keep going." See? So we set off, and we were all right. But when I went to the rear of the train, I found a lot of German refugees in there. How they found out, I don't know. I didn't realise they were on the train.
Were they interfered with?
No. I mean, one young girl, she'd be about 15 or 16, there were two of them together, came to me. She said, "This is English?" I said, "Yeah." So she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home, I hope." I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going with the English people. I don't want to be mixed up with the Russians." I said, are you German?" She said, "Yeah." So he said, "Can you take us where you're going, where we can be safe?" I said, "Well, we'll see. See what I can do for you." So later on, a couple of hours after, finally the train stopped, and there were some Czech troops. And what the others were, I don't know what the other troops were. I thought they were Russian, but I didn't want to know. I just put the rifle on my shoulder, and off I went. And these two girls followed me, right behind me. I said, "Just keep walking, but don't touch me." And nobody stopped us. And we walked down, and I walked smack into a guard, American. And I said, "Hi." He looks at me and says, "Hi." He said, "You and Tommy?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Where you come from?" I said, "From the prison camp up in Sudet." He said, "Oh." He said, "What are the two girls?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "They just jumped on the train coming through Prague." He said, can you speak to him? I said, yeah. He said, well, tell him to stay here until I get somebody to, you know, look after them. So they stayed there. And I went with one of the boys, the American boys, to the camp. I don't know what happened after that to the girls. No idea. I went in the camp, went through the same rigmarole.
Is this in
identification?
Austria?
In Austria. Mm. And Pilsen. That's where he is. I'm sure the Americans were Camp Pilsen. Pilsen, from Pilsen to Regensburg, from Regensburg by air to Reims.
And then from Reims to Britain?
Yeah.
What condition were you in by the time you got back to Britain?
Well, I was all right there.
What feelings did your period of imprisonment leave you with about the Germans?
The Germans? Oh, well, I mean, you don't expect... It depends on the circumstances. If you get... if you get with middle-aged people, a middle-aged chap, or an elderly, you can get by with a lot. But if you get a young person, then they're nasty... They can get nasty.
Why was that?
I don't know. Propaganda, I suppose.